Hello, I'm Sandeep Mishra, and I wish to tell you a very good afternoon for coming over here. And we are talking about atrazine in drinking water, which was, we did an exposure assessment and analysis in Kentucky. And as a part of requirement, no relationships to disclose. Yeah. Well, as most of us know that atrazine is a triazine herbicide and which has been used for years for controlling weeds in crop fields. It was first introduced in 1958 by Syngenta, and its use has been increased steadily over the past 50 years. In 2002, the EPA estimated that 76 million pounds of atrazine were applied in the United States, and EPA claims that it is the second most frequently observed pesticide in drinking water. Now, the problem is atrazine is transported to your water bodies by runoff from fields in rainfall due to misapplication and improper disposal. Now, this event is of great concern because when these water bodies happen to be sourced for drinking water of the population, and atrazine has been found in many studies that it's a potential carcinogen to human and can then be transported from the environment to the human body through drinking water. Now, there have been regulations for controlling the atrazine limit, and the regulation has been more under the Safe Drinking Water Act, and which states that a maximum contaminant level of 3 parts per billion is permissible as established by EPA. Under the SDWA, the community water systems are required to monitor for atrazine and maintain a yearly average below the MCL. The adverse effects on humans, it has been many times controversial, but there are some research which says that atrazine has estrogenic properties and possibility for it to cause hormonal imbalance. It may result in an increased chronic incidence of breast cancer. However, as I said, the health effects have not been proven conclusively. Our particular study was aimed at comparing atrazine levels in community and non-community water sources in Kentucky. The specific aims of our study was measuring exposure of farm families to atrazine through water, determining whether there is any difference in atrazine concentration in community and non-community water supply, and identifying the potential behavioral and environmental risk factors associated with pesticide exposure to farmers. The sample size was, it included 70 farm families in Butler, Grayson, Logan, and Warren counties of Kentucky. After taking the approval from HSRB, where families living on farms and having at least 100 acres of tillable cropland were chosen randomly, they were contacted and recruited for the study. The information on drinking water supply, pesticide uses, farming practices, demographics were all gathered via direct questionnaire. The data was analyzed to evaluate factors that could influence pesticide levels in drinking water. Now, the procedure was that we took two samples of drinking water from each participant's house, and a pair of field duplicates were also collected for every 10 samples. Then the samples were collected in VOA bottles and preserved between 2 to 8 degrees centigrade and analyzed within 14 days of collection so that the atrazine didn't degrade. The analysis was done by a rapid assay atrazine test kit, which follows the principle of ELISA. And the test kit had a minimum detection limit of 0.046 parts per billion, limit of quantitation 0.1 parts per billion, and half minimum inhibitory concentration of 0.72 parts per billion. This was the method we used. The samples were collected, as I said, it was collected in bottles, then an enzyme conjugate was added to it, which was further, then we added a paramagnetic particles with antibody specific to atrazine. The combination was incubated for 15 minutes. After that, we applied it to a magnetic field. Following that, we added a chromosin to the enzyme substrate, and which led to the development of color. The color was inversely proportional to the concentration of atrazine in the sample. And the determination of atrazine level was done by spectrophotometry at 450 nanometer. We found that, I mean, our data analysis showed that there were 46 males and 22 female participants in our study. The mean age of the participants was 54.7 years, and 66.7% of the participants were involved in farm-related works, and 49.2% of them handled pesticides. The water sampling was done as I said, for community sources and non-community sources. For community drinking water, we took from 50 households, and for non-community water, we took from 20 households. And from 3 households, we took both community and non-community water. Now, each of, when we saw the average duration of uses in these houses, 17.9 years was the average duration of water usage. In 71.4% of the households, water supply had never been sampled for water quality purposes. And 62.9% of the households did not use any kind of water filter. The results we got from that test was that the average concentration of atrazine in community water sources was 0.46 parts per billion, whereas in non-community water sources were 0.14 parts per billion. So, and when we see where it was detected, in community sources, in 49 out of 50 samples, atrazine was detected. And in, with non-community water supply, atrazine was detected in 15 out of 20 samples. Well, we did a t-test analysis to compare between the atrazine concentration in community and the non-community sources. And we found that the results showed a significant difference between the atrazine in the community and non-community sources. The two sample t-test was a 4.64 with p-value less than 0.01, indicating higher levels in the community sources. Now, what could be the reasons for this finding? We thought that it could be that purification processes used for community water sources in these 4 counties may be inadequate, or there possibly could be a contamination of drinking water in the supply chain through the community water delivery systems. Well, our conclusion is that more farm studies should be conducted to assess farm families' potential exposure to pesticides through drinking water, and data collected in this study may be used to design larger studies to conduct assessment and control technologies to reduce pesticide exposure. Yeah, thank you. Can I have, thank you. Can I have any questions? I think I have time. Yes, sir. Yeah, ma'am. Yeah, 50.
And were those all different water districts, or any of them?
We had taken 4 different counties.
As so I said. They had 50 different water sources?
Yeah. No, no. I mean, the 50 households were from 4 different counties. So water supply were from four of these counties.
In San Diego, we have like 6 different water supply districts.
Okay. No, they were, many of them were from similar. It was not 50 different water system altogether. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Were these well systems or were they surface
water? Well and spring combined. There was, yeah, 11 wells and 5 springs, something like that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, I didn't get it. I mean, there wasn't any screening done.
For that would be the MCL for the drinking water supply. So these water supplies would have been below the drinking water standard.
Yeah. I mean, it was, the limit is 3 parts per billion. It was definitely less than 3 in all of the cases. In none of the sample which we collected, it exceeded 3.
So as a follow-up to that, is there evidence to suggest that there might be health effects at a lower level?
Well, that will take time to really make sense that whether there has been any health effect. But till now, up to the point where we have done the study, these are the results. I'm telling on the, based on those results.
So,
well, she was asking, are there any methods to completely remove atrazine from drinking water? I said, it's no. There's no method in which we can completely remove it.
And
Any other questions?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.